Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reacting to a Texans loss 18-15 versus the Denver Broncos. A game in which, I mean, we had a lot of respect for the Broncos coming to this game. This Texas, the Broncos offense did not show up in a huge way. You were able to slow down that run game. That was, you know, talked very highly about. Just unfortunately, a few things really hampered your opportunity pretty early. And I think a couple of them I could think of were injuries. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones was what happened here on this play. CJ Stroud, a third and long, decides to do something that I think a lot of us have been asking for. Use your legs, CJ. Use your legs. Unfortunately, it sounds like this.
Three receivers to the right. Stroud of the gun on third down and 8 from the Houston 23-yard line. Got to be careful here. Nico short side left. One back, Dare. Noel motioning around. Here's Stroud taking the snap. Here's pressure. CJ scrambling forward. CJ wants to run, and he slides down at the 31. He got tagged, and here comes the flag as Stroud is still down. Singleton is calling people over from the Texan sideline, the medical people, because Stroud took a tremendous hit here. That was brutal, and it wasn't Singleton making a hit. It was Chris Abrams drain with the tag on CJ as he was going down. That was nasty, and Stroud is getting a long look here.
That's how it sounded on the call with, obviously, Mark Vandermeer calling it. And you heard it. Alex Singleton immediately waving to the sideline, like, hey, come get him. That was the scariest portion of this, is that it was immediately evident that, this is a problem with C.J. Stroud. Ultimately, he goes out for the remainder of the game. Wild, wild scenes in that moment.
It was, it had all the markings. Nobody knows this for sure unless you were out there. It had all the markings of he was out on the field, and it was very prevalent.
Yeah, you said that while we were up in the press box. You thought you saw a fencing response from him.
It wasn't the classic fencing, both hands up, because he had the ball in one hand, first of all. But it wasn't the classic, almost touchdown type hands up. But his left hand sort of like clawed and was up on his chest, if you watch the replay, and it sure looked like it to me. Again, and the fact that as soon as he hit the ground, you know, Singleton was going like this.
That's always a bad sign when you see the other team.
Yeah. You could tell, okay, he must be out. You know, and we don't know that for sure, but it sure looked like it.
Yeah. Now, obviously, like I said, he ended up in percussion protocol, and he did not return to this game. I think the conversation that started up, or one of the many conversations that started up around this, was what we saw from the officials. They threw the flag when it immediately happened. Abrams Drain, who was the cornerback filling in for Patrick Surtain II, who was out in this game, comes over kind of almost from a blind side of where CJ was. And as CJ very, very lethargically is getting down to slide, he hits him. What we ultimately see is kind of shoulder to CJ's chest.
Yes.
And after a booth review, they pick up the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Fair or foul, John Lopez?
I think fair according to the rules. I mean, he tackled it. You know, he didn't lead with his head. It was one of those plays that just last year, D'Amico Ryans, and this clip has been making the rounds a little bit, when it happened to Azeez Al-Shaair, D'Amico Ryans was saying it puts the defender in a tough spot, you know, when he was defending Azeez Al-Shaair. He didn't necessarily defend Abrams Drain, but when he was defending Azeez Al-Shaair last year, he was saying, you don't know what the quarterback's going to do. It was kind of a sideways slide, you know. So it sucks, you know, because I don't know what would have happened. There was a penalty there that was picked up. You know, what would have happened if they hadn't? But I actually think, you know, according to how they – and they reviewed it. you know, it was a booth review. And so according to how they called it and reviewed it, it's probably fair.
This was the head coach's perspective on it after the game.
CJ scrambled. Of course, he tried to – he slid, and the guy – you know, came up and hit him, as I see as unnecessary roughness, and he hit the quarterback when he's sliding and giving himself up. If I'm incorrect on the rule, I've seen that happen multiple times, you know, with our guys, and we get the penalty, but for some reason, it just didn't happen there. So we'll look at the film and see, you know, what actually happened there. At the end of the day, we lost our starting quarterback, all right, because of the play. And, you know, anytime you lose your starting quarterback, it's always tough. You know, I thought Davis battled, tried to do a good job there, he battled, but it just didn't do well offensively once we lost CJ.
Yeah, the frustration for me is that when you see the way that the play ultimately played out, I think I feel similarly to, I think Seth said this when I was hanging out with him at KHOU yesterday, feel similarly about it than I probably would of the Azeez, where, I mean, he's getting down late. CJ's getting down late. I mean, obviously, he's looking forward at, I can't remember the defender that's in, Singleton, right? Singleton directly in front of him. And he starts getting down, but it's happening late, and it's happening slowly to the point where Abrams Drain, and now
what's he going to do?
Now we're doing the thing where we're, you know, we're Zapruder filming, we're going frame by frame. I saw him, what I believed to be him, leading into trying to go and make that tackle before CJ is even really starting to drop.
Right.
So I feel bad about it. The only thing that frustrates me is typically if you're going to err in making that call, typically they err on the side of defending the quarterback.
But
that was the thing that frustrated me. I think by the letter of what the league has done, and honestly, I think the way that a lot of us who feel for the defenders in this league when it called, that's one of those where, you have to have a certain responsibility and culpability as a quarterback. It's just deeply frustrating to see that after a lot of time of this not really being, you know, litigated and or officiated in a way that felt like it was even, now maybe with some level of emphasis of, hey, let's try and be a little bit more fair to the defensive linemen or defensive players, now CJ Stroud gets caught up in the crosshair and then you ultimately don't get the penalty.
And again, you know, just last year, D'Amico Ryans was on our side on that, you know, in terms of like, what's the defender supposed to do? But let's not even, you know, we don't necessarily have to dig in on that. What I'm really, you know, interested and concerned about is where the Texans are as a team as a result of this. Because here come the Jacksonville Jaguars, fresh off an overtime win yesterday.
Versus the Raiders.
CJ Stroud is in the concussion protocol. We know that there are always exceptions, but by and large, that's a good week. Yeah, that's a good week that you're going to miss. And you got to go through five levels of protocol over the course of the week before you get cleared, and each one of those levels has to be clearance from a doctor. So I'm not saying he's not going to play, but history tells us that the odds are against
him. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And playing.
Yeah, I could even get into those levels if you want. One of the things I did in trying to figure out, okay, does CJ play next week and how long does he miss if he misses time? And I just did like a cursory look at, okay, what concussions have we seen? Now, immediately, the easy one here locally, and it's Nico Collins, right? He just missed week 8 with that concussion after, you know, sustaining that week 7, right? That's a wide receiver. I don't know how much that fits in the same way, because one of the things that I was saying, as you were rightfully saying, CJ's not returning to this game. I was like, well, quarterbacks seem to be treated differently. Should they? Absolutely not. No. When it comes to concussions, we need to protect all these players' brains the best that we possibly can. But quarterbacks seem to operate just a little differently. There's a little bit more of an understanding from the league that that's where your bread is buttered. So I was going to try and see if there was maybe anything that I could surmise from the quarterbacks who had recently gotten concussions. So I tried to kind of like go back in my memory banks and use search engines to see if I could find what happened. Do you remember Jalen Hurts dealing with a grade 1 concussion week 16 last year? He got this concussion. He missed week 17. He also missed week 18. However, week 18, they played their third quarterback, Tanner McKee, because they had already wrapped up the number two spot. So I do wonder if that would have been a 1 week as opposed to a 2 week for Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Eagles, Houston boy. All right, Trevor Lawrence. Now, people will point to that and go, well, he ended his season after that week 13 matchup with the Texans. But it's worth remembering, and one of the things that we were frustrated with in the moment was that Aziz didn't put him out for the rest of the season based off of a concussion. He was dealing with a clavicle injury where they weren't even sure if he was going to play in that game to begin with.
Right.
And then at that point, they shut him down due to those injuries. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that was a concussion thing. However, he was concussed the year prior in 2023 in week 15. He played the very next week.
Right.
So, like, that's one where you have a guy who has a concussion and plays in the next game. And similarly, if you go back to Josh Allen in 2019, he left a game, and now this is years back, clearly, but he left a game in week 4 versus the Patriots, fourth quarter with a grade 1 concussion and was available for the next game. So there have been instances where guys their way back. I just wonder, for one, like, how does this ultimately actually litigate it? Is this actually a grade 1? And then it's all about symptoms. Do those symptoms clear up? And have we become more attuned to those symptoms? Because a few of those that we're talking about are more than a year ago. And the one that we have the most recent is one where you missed a game.
Yeah, and it is possible. You know, we both mentioned that it has happened. You just illustrated it. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays. And you talk about how quarterbacks are treated differently, and that's true. But the reps during the week for quarterbacks seem to be immensely important. And I don't anticipate him getting a lot of reps. So we'll see, you know, because what if, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, the big practices, if Davis Mills gets the majority of the reps, are they just going to flip and go ahead and go with CJ?
Let me ask you, would you flip?
I probably would.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I probably would. But reps for quarterbacks in a big week like this against Jacksonville, and your game planning and your, you know, getting timing against, you know, in certain plays that you're, you know, putting in for that are immensely important. So it's very, very interesting how it's going to play out this week. Of course, we have all week to talk about it. But here's the other thing. You know, you're 3-5, man. You're 3-5. Jacksonville's 5-3, and the Colts are, what, 7-2?
7-2. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, and we will, but what I'm saying is that the importance of him coming back for this game against Jacksonville.
Assuming that he's ready to, right? Like, nobody wants him to play.
Exactly.
And I hear this. Astro on the YouTube says, who cares if CJ comes back next week? This offense still sucks. I think that there's variations of suck, man. Like, there are levels of suck, and I hate to say it that way, but I think that's true. What you saw, and not to be the guy that goes, I told you, or whatever, but I wonder how those people that were clamoring for, well, let's put Davis Mills out.
Oh, that's over,
here.
Right?
Like,
I can't believe we was even entertaining that crap.
It's a very clear difference when you have CJ, and the thing that I noticed was the processing, which is very important for this particular offense, being able to progress through your reads. The processing for CJ happened so much quicker than it did for Davis Mills. Now, what I'm interested in is, I don't think that you're dead in the water if Davis has to start, because one thing that we can acknowledge is this is a very good Broncos defense, and he had to jump in without preparation into this game.
Sure, sure. And then
you look at next week, which is, I think,
speaks to what, like, the reps for the quarterback in that game plan with those plays, what you're implementing. It's kind of important, man.
Yeah, I think when you look at Jacksonville, not nearly the same level of defense as the Denver Broncos.
Sure.
And Davis Mills, without an opportunity to prep, he's played in a similar system. If you can give him an idea of, hey, this is what you're looking for in a way that he obviously did not have in this game, can he be a lot more passable than what we saw in that second half? I think yes. How much more ends up being the question where you're trying to find out to get you W's.
Yeah, I kind of lean on the first part you said. That defense is crazy, man. Mm-hmm. So once Davis Mills hopped in there, I'm like, man, if the Texans defense don't stop them for the rest of the game, and don't let them score, then I think it's going to be a long day for that offense. Mm.
And you know the one thing, though, and again, I don't want to victim blame or whatever, because obviously thoughts are very much with C.J. Stroud, who on his foundations page, like a picture of him and his mom, they put up with, like, you know, him saying that he was doing all right, so we're glad to hear that. On the very play, that third and long that ultimately he gets hit short on, there's a lot more room to his left if he had decided to veer that way.
Who knows,
I don't know that he would have picked up the first down still, but I do wonder if going away from Abrams Drain, if he might have had a better outcome. Now, of course, that's all, you know, all hindsight, and it's always 20-20, but yeah, I was looking at that. I was like, there's a lot more room towards his left if he does not just go barrel straight towards Alex Singleton. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's going to be a conversation that I'm guaranteeing that we have all week long after a 18-15 loss versus the Denver Broncos. All right, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. What word describes your emotions after the 18-15 loss to the Denver Broncos? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.